Okay, our next speaker is Nikki Barefoot. Nikki is a fifth-year doctoral student in clinical psychology at Georgia Southern University in Statesboro, Georgia. She has a master's degree in clinical psychology and has worked as a clinician in a variety of settings, including rural and urban community mental health centers and an Army behavioral health clinic. She served as a research assistant as part of an interdisciplinary team of researchers at the Rural Health Research Institute, a NIH Center for Excellence at GSU, for 2 years investigating rural health disparities, with her primary research focus area being rural LGBT mental and physical health disparities and barriers to care. Her dissertation project focuses on the disclosure experiences, barriers to care, and women's health risk factors for rural lesbians. She is currently a pre-doctoral intern at the Community Health Link Youth and Family Services in Worcester, Massachusetts. Welcome, Nikki.
So first I would like to thank you for the opportunity to represent my colleagues in Georgia from the Rural Health Research Institute and also the Center for Rural Health and Health Disparities. So as previously mentioned, the majority of my research program is pretty much trying to examine the ins and outs of all the experiences of rural LGBT. When you look into the literature, there's just scant on everything. And so the majority of my research is trying to examine barriers to care, disclosure experiences, health risk factors for rural LGBT, and with my particular interest being on women's health for sexual and gender minority populations. So just a disclosure that I have no financial relationship. And then the objectives of the talk is to describe the unique barriers to routine preventative care, i.e. Availability, accessibility, and acceptability for sexual minority women, and discuss rural and urban differences in barriers to routine care. So overall, sexual and gender minorities have unique risks and gynecological health needs that I could give a whole talk on. but I'm going to be brief. But the number one thing is there's not this biological difference per se. It is really just about the experiences with providers, the disclosure experiences, barriers to care, kind of the number one thing that contributes to the health disparities is avoidance of routine care. So there's some sort of factor playing into getting preventative care and getting health care. So it's the majority of the disparities can be explained by barriers to care. So it's just some stats that you know, compared to heterosexual cisgender women, only about 66% report a Pap test in the past 3 years, and about 53%. Indicate a clinical breast exam. These stats are a little high. I've seen them lower and higher. So there's sometimes a range of only about 20% and upwards to 60%. We find that about 38% of sexual minority women who delayed health care in the past year did so because of fear of discrimination. And so other barriers to consider are accessibility, availability, and acceptability. And accessibility being anything from financial to transportation issues to not having health coverage, not having a way to kind of access healthcare. Availability is you know, anything from having a provider in the area, having an LGBT-friendly provider, having, you know, someone to go get safe, affirming preventative care from. And then lastly is acceptability, and I think this comes up a lot in the population in terms of their own willingness to interact with a more traditional heterosexist, you know, system, in terms of if you think about accessing women's health care for a woman who may present as gender non-conforming or non-binary, trying to access a women's health clinic and how uncomfortable that may be, and they may not be willing to put themselves in that position. So here's the basic for kind of why this is important. Sexual and gender minority cis females have health risk factors across the board. They're at greater risk for being diagnosed with several gynecological cancers. With the literature suggesting that that's basically related to not getting preventative care. So delaying getting a pap test, delaying getting a breast exam can significantly impact. Other risk factors that contribute is the others I'll talk about. So more tobacco and alcohol use, susceptibility, greater obesity, less likely to use oral contraceptives that can be protective of gynecological cancers. More likely to be nulliparous, so to not give birth to a child and to not breastfeed. So that's a risk factor that if you think about sexual minority women and gender nonconforming cis women, they're less likely to have some of these protective factors. More likely to have higher levels of obesity, more risky sexual behavior. And then if you think about male to female gender minorities, they're are getting hormone replacements, and if they're not able to get an affirming provider to provide them with hormone replacements or even a sex change surgery, then they may be using underground type resources and sharing needles to get testosterone. And then also across the board, unique mental health concerns that again relates back to being a minority, so minority stress and experiencing greater levels of depression, anxiety, that type of thing. Okay, so when we think about rurality, so why examine sexual minority women and gender nonconforming cis women in this population? That there's a lot of things about rural culture that come up that are kind of incongruent with being a sexual minority that may cause even more barriers or even less willingness to interact with the healthcare system. So some aspects of rural culture is tends to be a more conservative climate, has higher fundamental religiosity, more emphasis on conforming to the traditional heteronormative culture, higher rates of homophobia, heterosexism, and victimization in rural communities. There's this notion of concealment and isolation, so the whole don't ask, don't tell phenomenon in rural communities where there's kind of this culture of not disclosing your sexual orientation and no one asks about it, so it's kind of this unspoken, we don't ask about it, and so don't ask, don't tell, and you're trying to access appropriate women's health care, and so you may not feel comfortable disclosing your sexual orientation or your gender identification to your provider, if you even interact with a provider. And then rural culture is also kind of synonymous with more self-reliance, more independence, and so maybe less willing to seek preventative care. Again, so some of the health risk factors that coincide with being a sexual minority or gender minority also coincide with rurality. So when you think about more cultural acceptance of alcohol and tobacco use, and then, you know, in rural culture, there may be more sedentary lifestyle, more high-fat diets. You know, if you think about rural culture and the kind of the susceptibility to the type of food that they eat. And then also remoteness and isolation. So you're already isolated in a rural community. And so if you think about being a rural individual who's a sexual minority or a gender minority, it's like this double whammy in terms of being isolated and not having access to a supportive social network. And so some barriers to care that come up for rurality is limited availability of specialty care. So there may not even be a OBGYN or a women's health provider in the community that's accessible. There is a significant lack of providers that are trained to work with LGBT identified patients or even are LGBT friendly or affirming or, you know, have any knowledge of working with this population. So there's greater homophobia and heterosexism, lower SES, less likely to be insured rural populations. Again, the geographic isolation and transportation, so if someone doesn't have a car or doesn't have a way to get to an urban center where there may be more specialty care or LGBT-affirming providers, then they're kind of stuck, you know, in a place where they can't access appropriate care. Victimization concerns, fears of being outed, so this whole small-town community phenomenon of, you know, I don't want to go to women's health care and, like, discuss my you know, sexual orientation or gender identity or even, you know, talk about my partner because I'm afraid that even though there's confidentiality, that my doctor, my OBGYN actually goes to the church with me, or, you know, is friends with my parents or friends with so-and-so. So it's kind of this small town phenomenon. And then also if you think about gender identity, so being a sexual minority and then also potentially gender identity, so someone that presents as gender nonconforming, again, trying to access women's health care in a very heteronormative traditional atmosphere. So even going into a women's health care clinic and presenting as more masculine identified or genderqueer, then that's a really vulnerable place to be in, and you may not feel comfortable. You may be afraid of being victimized or, you know, looked at differently or rejected just wait in the waiting room of these facilities. And then again, so there may be a preference for traditional medicine that we sometimes see, especially in rural lesbian populations. So the current study, there's no quantitative data out there on examining the unique barriers to routine gynecological care for rural sexual and gender minorities. So basically this project was aimed at just kind of comparing, doing a rural, non-rural comparison of barriers to gynecological care. So the method was a large-scale online study. We recruited through LGBT organizations, listservs, college GSAs, social media, Facebook, Craigslist advertisements, in the community volunteer section. And one of the main reasons we utilize Craigslist is because you're trying to access a rural population that I've already established doesn't have access to LGBT organizations. So one of the things I was hopeful and did find was when I started doing Craigslist ads, I had more rural participants, and my participants in the Craigslist also were less out and less visible, and so kind of getting that population I was looking for. So the recruitment was done, like I said, online in SurveyMonkey, and then my participants were put into a drawing for a $50 gift card. So the sample was 2,233 biological females who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, pansexual, transgender, and or genderqueer. And then there's the ethnic background. And then a little bit more about the sample characteristics. So about 30% of the sample was rural, and about 70% was non-rural. And then again, about 50% were lesbian, bisexual, pansexual, queer, gay, and then some identified as straight if they were male to female, I mean female to male. All right, so some of our findings is that overall for this sample, only about 73 to 78% have health coverage with a significant rural-urban difference, where rural population is less likely to have health coverage. Again, inaccessibility due to lack of coverage, financial limitations. Again, about 40% of the rural indicated inability to access due to financial limitations, and there was a significant rural, non-rural difference. The limited availability of providers in the area, again, rural participants indicated that there was more of a limited availability of providers, that makes sense. And then lack of LGBT-friendly providers in the area, again, more of a significant rural-urban difference, with more rural participants indicating a lack, with 16%. One of the interesting things is across the board, only about 40 to 45% indicated they had a women's health care provider they saw on a regular basis. So about 60% of my sample doesn't even access women's health care. And then if you see here, avoidance of gynecological appointments due to fears of discrimination, almost 25% of my rural sample said. So again, in a significant rural-urban difference. And then only about 30 to 35% had even been asked about their sexual orientation by their women's health care provider. So if you even think about receiving appropriate safe sex information or referrals or anything, only about 33% even had access to that. And again, only about 28% indicated, 28 to 30% indicated that they had been provided safe sex education by their women's health care provider appropriate to their sexual or gender identity. And then only about 35 to 45% indicated that they had been recommended the HPV vaccination, with, again, less rural. And we do know from the literature that sexual minority women do report male sexual partners, that about 70% of lesbian-identified women even have had at least one male sexual partner in the past. And so only about 17 to 20% indicated that they had even been asked for an HIV or STI screening by their women's health provider. And then only about 50 to 52% indicated that their women's health care provider seemed knowledgeable to LGBT concerns, again, with less rural. So some conclusions. That there are significant rural versus non-rural differences in barriers to care, specifically the inaccessibility due to the limited availability of providers and the lack of LGBT-friendly providers. And then one of the most significant things that I think is the fear-related avoidance, so afraid of discrimination or rejection by their provider. And then, you know, I noted all across the board that there's just, you know, alarming stats for barriers across rural and non-rural. So just real quick, some kind of takeaway messages from this is that it really shows the need for more kind of cultural competency training for women's healthcare providers to be knowledgeable of the unique experiences, the unique barriers, the unique language, everything to provide affirming and appropriate care to sexual minority women and gender minority cis women. And also the availability of resources about appropriate safe sex, about you know, the importance of accessing women's health care and getting screenings. And then lastly, just overall advocating for more rural providers to be trained in LGBT affirmative care, and, you know, hitting on some of these financial barriers. If you think about, you know, what's kind of important in the media now even is getting marriage equality so that you can access your partner's health coverage and things like that. So, all right, thank you.